Early in December 1694, an assassin emerged from the streets of London to sneak westward across the park, slip unseen through the halls of Kensington Palace, and attack the beautiful and beloved young queen. 6 years before, it had taken a revolution to put Mary and her Dutch husband, William of Orange, on the British throne. But on this wintry day, her attacker was neither counter-revolutionary nor common robber. Nothing more than a tiny protein-coated and exuberantly proliferant tangle of DNA, it was the virus now known as variola major. Its identification would take another 2.5 centuries, but in 1694 the disease it triggered was already notorious. The smallpox, the English called it, to distinguish it from the great pox, syphilis, whose strange rashes it sometimes mimicked. Silently, without so much as a lone tickle or twinge of warning, the infection burrowed deep into the queen's body. For almost 2 weeks it stayed out of sight, as the virus multiplied in the dark. Meanwhile, Mary seemed to be wrapped safe within the gilt pavilions and cupolas of her favorite pleasure house, its rooms festooned with laughter and music, swept with the rustling of silk, and gleaming with forests of the blue and white Chinese porcelain she loved to collect. Then, 5 days before Christmas, fever exploded through her body, chased by intense flashes of pain in her head and back. Without telling anyone she was ill, she dosed herself with her old faithful cold remedies. But by evening, nothing had helped. With the smallpox epidemic raging in London, Queen Mary assumed the worst. She sent everyone who had not already had the disease away from the palace and shut herself in her innermost room. Veering between shivers and sweats, she wrote a last long letter of love and advice to the sometimes wayward king. After locking it in a little drawer in the desk by her bed, she spent the rest of the night burning her diaries and long-treasured letters, preparing to die. 3 days later, a deep reddish-purple flush crept in uneven patches across her face. Confronted with this rosy fire, the 9 physicians who gathered at her bedside looked grim. They knew of 2 maladies that commonly produced it, and neither was good news. "If the queen is lucky," they intoned among themselves, "it might be measles." If she were not, they knew, but could not yet bear to say, it would turn out to be smallpox. The only way to find out was to wait. The next day, a cold and blustery Sunday, the ominous blush faded, and blisters began to rise on the queen's face, arms, hands, and feet. Despite the now inescapable diagnosis of smallpox, the physician's hopes rose along with her bubbling rash. "At least she does not have the purples," they told each other with relief. The mere appearance of the blisters cancelled out the possibility of that horror, the rare but invariably fatal form of early hemorrhagic smallpox, which made its victims leak blood from every orifice, while their bodies swelled beneath skin turned to dark purple velvet, until they died of heart failure. All before a rash of telltale pox could ever break out.